With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
And welcome back to a brand new DNF1F1 podcast. I hope that you're all doing well, and thank you as always for being here. It's great to have you along, and my name is Adam. Joining me as always is Lee Wannington on the panel, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, but we also have Courtney Pine joining us after a long hiatus. The main man is back. Courtney, coming to you first, of course. How are you doing, mate? It's been a while.
Oh, it has. Various life circumstances have kept me away from the show, but I'm glad to be back. Obviously missed a couple of topics, and we're not going to delve into it, but if there was a time in F1 history that I wanted to be away for, it was that turbulent last few weeks where there was a lot of things going on off the track, which wasn't in the best interest of the sport. So I can't say I've greatly missed having to talk about those things, but you guys did a great job nonetheless, and I'm glad to be back talking about the racing, which is the most important feature of this channel.
Fundamentally agree. I think we all feel a lot better about F1 when we're just talking about the action on the track rather than everything else that's been going on off it. Lee, come to you as well. How are you doing, mate?
I'm doing good, thank you for asking, Adam. I never do badly.
Well, it's always good to hear. Yeah. I mean, we're all looking forward to the Japanese Grand Prix, F1, having a bit of a mini interlull now. It's most weekends we expect there to be a race every single one of them. So on the occasion, you do get one where there isn't one. We have to try and fill it with some news. And quick apology on that front that we didn't have a Monday episode for you guys during the Easter break. Of course, I hope for those of you that celebrated Easter had a good time and enjoyed the bank holiday for wherever you are celebrating it. But yeah, apologies we couldn't get an episode out on Monday. That's why we're doing the preview predictions a day or so earlier than we normally would. Don't think there's any sort of guidelines or rules of when we have to put content out, but we try and do it as much as we can anyway. So before we get into the meat of the discussion for the Japanese Grand Prix predictions episode, of course, as protocol on the show now, we share a 5-star review and we dedicate an episode to a specific listener that gives us a 5-star review. So, of course, if you would like a shout out on the show and have an episode dedicated to you, all you got to do, head over to your favorite podcasting platform, preferably Apple Podcasts and Spotify if you can, because those are the reviews that we see. Leave us a 5-star review and tell us why you love the show. Very much appreciated. And this episode, we are going to be dedicating to Lodo Baggins on Apple Podcasts. Love the name. 5-star review says, simply put, great podcast from these guys every single week. Love listening to the show. Thank you very much, Lodo Baggins. And I'm sure we've got a Lord of the Rings fan in there somewhere, but all good and well. So very much appreciated. This episode is for you. So heading into the Japanese Grand Prix, gentlemen, there was a lot of talk following the Australian Grand Prix regarding Carlos Sainz, the man who beat all the odds, including those on the hospital bed, to make it to the Grand Prix. And, you know, it would have been good enough for him to just compete, put in a decent showing for Ferrari. But he did one step beyond that and won the whole thing, and deservedly so. And there was an interesting question from Tom Clarkson from F1, talking to Charles Leclerc and Lando Norris, who also completed the podium alongside Carlos Sainz, asking, is Carlos Sainz underrated in F1? And I thought that was a really good question. I think Charles Leclerc and Lando Norris gave the answers I think we had expected from them. And then when they asked Carlos Sainz if he thought he was underrated, I think he pretty much gave the answer we expected it from him, which was an awkward one. Tried to be magnanimous, but probably inside he probably feels, yeah, maybe I am a little underrated. So I'm going to put that to you both. Courtney, let's start with you. Do you think Carlos Sainz is underrated?
Yeah, I believe he is. The whole situation concerning Lewis Hamilton moving to Ferrari caught everyone by surprise. And I imagine Carlos Sainz himself was more surprised than anyone involved. But we all know how harsh Formula One can be. And sometimes people can have short memories in terms of, you know, what a driver can offer a team. But no, I do believe that Carlos Sainz is underrated. Would I have him down as an A-rated driver? So if you're looking at a Verstappen, a Leclerc, a Hamilton over the course of his career, no, I don't. But I'd put him in the next category. I'd have him in a Jenson Button, Nico Rosberg sort of level. Capable of winning a championship, but wouldn't be sort of leaving. He's not a legacy driver like a Schumacher, a Hamilton, if you go back, like a Senna, a Prost. But he's definitely capable of competing with everyone on that grid. He can beat everyone on that grid on his day, which he has proven already. I just feel for Carlos, he'll need the right team at the right time. But overall, he's doing a good job at Ferrari. And I think it was very harsh that he lost that seat. But it was either him or Charles Leclerc, because it seemed that the circumstances with Hamilton being available and the connections with Fred Vasseur in particular, things fell in place very quickly. And unfortunately for Carlos Sainz, he was very much a victim of that.
Very high praise indeed there. Some big names being compared to Carlos Sainz, which I can totally understand. Where do you think he stacks up, Courtney, with the current crop of drivers? Where does he fit in that hierarchy?
So again, I don't think he's a Verstappen, a Hamilton. And what I mean by that is where I think he will be when you reflect on his career when he retires. So obviously Lewis is going to walk away with seven. Lewis has walked away with seven. Max could potentially, let's be honest, it's looking like Max could potentially walk away with more if he doesn't get bored at some point in his career. Charles Leclerc, he has the potential to be a multiple world champion. But for me, if I were to make a prediction for the rest of Carlos Sainz's career, he has the capability of winning a world championship. I'd say very similar along the lines as George Russell. I think George Russell, again, he has the potential to be a world champion. But everything has to fall in place for that to happen, because I do feel this generation will very much be dominated by the likes of Verstappen. I think Leclerc still has more to learn. I feel that Leclerc has a higher ceiling than Carlos Sainz. And I think it's that ceiling that we're talking about, that consistency over the course of not one season, but your entire career.
And what about you, Lee? Where does Carlos stack up in your opinion? Do you think he's underrated?
So for me, I've never personally underrated him. But as in the sport, I do think he's generally quite underrated. I do agree with Courtney that I wouldn't put him in the same conversation or same level as Max, Lewis or Fernando. Courtney did mention Fernando, but I'm adding Fernando to that list.
Why wouldn't you? I was being petty.
He's still harping on over that. Let it go, Courtney, let it go.
But I would say he's just as good as Charles, personally. I think the Ferrari should really ask themselves the question, did they keep the wrong Ferrari driver in that other Ferrari seat? As I mentioned to you previously, Adam, over the time together, Carlos and Charles have been very close matched, and Carlos has beaten over points. I think he's beaten Charles across the point scoring obviously three wins apiece as well. So they're being evenly matched as teammates quite closely. And I would agree that Charles probably has a ceiling, a higher ceiling, but that's just a potential. If you don't reach that ceiling, well, I have the higher ceiling. Doesn't mean nothing. I was going to give you some more ruder language. I refrained. Doesn't mean anything unless you actually achieve it. But Carlos has already got a very good level performance and he's very consistent. We've already seen his consistency. We've seen his ruthlessness. We've seen his strategic thinking. And a classic example is, I think, Singapore, that 400 IQ moment. The team didn't even understand what he was doing, but that secured him the win. And that's kind of the achievements and the skill that, he may not have the outright speed of Charles, but he's got the racing mentality. You just have to look at Fernando. Fernando's never been the quickest over one lap, but he was always the racer. And Fernando's still proving that now into his 40s. So I think Carlos is completely underrated. People have been caught by the speed and the performance of Charles. Go, oh, wow, look, Charles is the future Ferrari. Well, technically he is. He's got the contract to back it. But he's been outshone by that speed and the talent of Carlos has just gone under the radar. You have to think when he was with Max in Toro Rosso, they were very evenly pegged in Toro Rosso. Obviously, there was a lot of animosity behind the scenes that especially the fathers weren't getting on because, you know, the fathers like to be involved in their young sons' careers at those relevant points and favouritism and obviously... But Carlos held it against Max the entire time. Max didn't wipe the floor with Carlos. So I think that was completely ignored because people were focused on Max. And like, oh, look at this young guy. He's doing this. And Carlos just did his job and did a very solid performance. So I think the sport have just now come realize what he can do when he's just been hidden by bigger news lines, so to speak. And this is just what Carlos has already knew about himself. Obviously, he's a great driver.
Yeah, it's a tough one with Carlos because I agree with a lot of what you guys have said. I mean, I'll be blunt. I think he's definitely underrated. I know Leclerc made a very interesting comment saying, look, there are going to be team principals, if they aren't already having discussions with Carlos about having him in their car, almost everybody's going to want to have him in their car. I mean, let's be real. Ferrari would have wanted to have had Carlos Sainz in their car for 2025. The only reason they don't is because Lewis Hamilton became available. And people can put that down to John Elkann's, you know, Tifosi wet dream or whatever you want to call it, for lack of a better way of putting it, to have Hamilton and Leclerc driving for Ferrari. The star power is off the charts in that regard. And even though I would argue it's a quicker driver lineup, there is that lack of harmony, perhaps, and I'm not suggesting that they won't get on, but the dynamic between Leclerc and Carlos complements each other so well that, you know, people would say, oh, you know, Hamilton Russell was the strongest partnership. And I would say, I always said, like, Carlos Leclerc, I always felt was stronger for that reason. They may not have the outright speed to compare from driver to driver, but that dynamic where you'll get days where Ferrari are not at the races with Leclerc, but Carlos will be able to find a way to get the best out of it and put in that performance. We've seen that numerous times. We've seen it in Australia. Leclerc didn't win that race because he didn't do a good enough job in qualifying. And that, when it counts, simple as that, Carlos did, and he went on to win the race superbly. And there'll be days where Leclerc will be untouchable. And, you know, he's had a few of those. So it's a great dynamic there. And I think there will be days next season where Hamilton will be in that Ferrari and Leclerc, they'll both be doing fine, but there might be a day where neither of them are really able to get on top of it because of changeable conditions or things that are happening that they just can't quite get on top of. And they're going to be sitting there Ferrari thinking, ah, you know what? If we had a third car and Carlos was driving it, we could probably win today. This is
or
the
just
kind of,
wait for yeah. the Charles Lewis is faster than you. Oh,
well, I mean, that radio call may come. It may come the other way round. We'll just have to wait and see. But no, I think he has been underrated for a lot of his career. I could go into the stuff with Renault and how Red Bull used to look at him, that old business in Austria quite a few years ago when he was at Toro Rosso. And he basically went out and said in a press conference that he felt he was too, like, no one stays in that junior team for 4 years. Like, they need to be promoted or let go. And it rubbed Helmut Marko up the wrong way. I think he's probably held a grudge on that ever since. So, you know, it is what it is. But I think right now I'll be very surprised if we didn't have team principals all over the garage talking to Carlos Sainz to try and get him in their car. And before we go into the predictions, I'm just going to ask you all one final question on Carlos Sainz. And where do we see him end up in 2025? I'm going Red Bull, personally.
Do you know what? I think that's the practical answer, absolutely. I think a really good option for him would be Audi, because I think the thing I didn't clarify in terms of what Carlos Sainz offers as a driver, if you have a look through his career, particularly his time at McLaren, he really did help build that team to what it become today. We all know that Zak Brown did its part. We all know that Lando did his part. Upcoming driver, probably the most popular young driver on the grid, which helped, you know, build that feel-good feeling at McLaren. But Carlos Sainz did a hell of a lot to stabilise that team, and he was always there to get the big results when it mattered. And I really do feel that Carlos Sainz's time at McLaren is actually the true reflection of what he offers as a driver. So I reckon it would be really good for Carlos to start a new project. The Audi project is the one I look at. Join Audi, brand new project, build that team behind you and see what it brings, whether he can build a championship-winning team. Who knows? We've seen stranger things happen in the past, but I feel that going to Red Bull, he's just going to have the same thing he had at Toro Rosso, if not a lot worse. But a move to Audi, a brand new project, would be really good for him.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. Lee, what do you reckon? Where's Carlos Sainz going in 2025?
I think he'd end up in Aston Martin.
Ah, is this to replace Fernando or to replace Lance?
Either or.
Either or. Well, I mean, there will be dominoes to fall in this driver market, and Fernando Alonso is definitely teetering on what may happen at Red Bull and what will happen at Mercedes. That could have an effect where, you know, it will create a domino effect. I think that is one domino in the driver market that is waiting to fall, but I'm not sure when that's going to happen yet.
I think that domino is waiting to fall on the Max domino, which is the next big domino in the market of will he actually commit to Red Bull or will an escape clause be enabled for him to leave?
I just don't see a scenario where Max is going to go.
I don't see him leaving, but I think that's the big domino, because for obviously Fernando's eyeing up a Red Bull seat if Max decides to walk, which obviously Fernando would love to get himself in that car. So I think it's all Fernando's holding up the driver market, but Fernando's waiting on seeing what mess happens at Red Bull.
It would take some extraordinary circumstances behind the scenes at Red Bull for that to happen. But given what's happened over the past few weeks, would you really rule anything out? I think that's the weird sort of territory we're in, because I completely agree with you, Adam. Like, again, if you're thinking rationally, why would Max Verstappen leave the most dominant team in F1 over recent years to go to where? What Mercedes, a team that is, let's be honest, is actually really disappointing at the moment. That's the only really realistic. Or maybe Aston Martin, if Adrian Newey was to leave Red Bull for whatever strange reason, maybe there. But it would take extraordinary circumstances for that to happen.
I mean, yeah, I think that was a power play for Marko, and it didn't really work. I mean, Marco's still there, so, you know, it doesn't really make much of a difference, but I don't think that really worked the way Max perhaps thought it might have done, or at least those that are advising him might have thought it would have done. But, I mean, you look at what's happening at Mercedes, I still think, in my opinion, Mercedes are going to go with either Antonelli or probably Fernando. I don't think the incident with Fernando and George at Melbourne is going to have any bearing on that. I mean, Mercedes signed George Russell 6 months after he'd literally destroyed a Williams and a Mercedes at Imola. So, you know, they're not going to be too worried about that kind of thing or hold that much of a grudge. So for that reason, I don't see the Audi project enticing Sainz too much, because I think it's going to take too long before he gets in a position where he's has a car capable of winning. There's too much for him to give up at this point. I'm going to say give up. I know he's not in a Ferrari next year, but there's stock there that can you really invest at least two seasons in that car, if not longer, before it's actually any good? I'm not so sure. So for that reason, I just think Red Bull is the obvious answer. Now, of course, I think this bears on Red Bull. Will Red Bull get rid of Perez to bring Sainz in? We know they don't want Tsunoda in that car because Tsunoda's doing great things, and Marco's saying, yeah, but he's not quite doing good enough, which basically says to me they don't want Tsunoda in there because I think that's absolute rubbish that he's not doing good enough. And Ricciardo's nowhere near good enough. Ricciardo might not even be in the RB in a couple of races time. We might end up talking about Liam Lawson driving that car. So for me, there is definitely a seat at Red Bull in 25. And I think Red Bull would be stupid to pass up an opportunity where a driver as good as Carlos Sainz would take that up. And that will secure them for a few years. And then we'll see where they go from there. So we'll see. But let us know, guys. Where do you think Carlos Sainz ends up in 2025? And obviously, I'd love it to be Ferrari, but here we are. That's not going to happen. Unless we find a way to get free cars in Formula One. But yeah, doubt that's going to happen anytime soon.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Let's move on, guys, because we do need to do the predictions for the Japanese Grand Prix. That's why we're all here. And the first category of the predictions is the biggest surprise. Now, Courtney, I'm going to come to you first because you missed the Australian Grand Prix. You're already 3-1 down on Lee and myself, respectively, in this part. So you've got some catching up to do, although not so much with me, but more so Lee on this one. Who's your biggest surprise going to be this weekend?
Ooh, I tell you what, it's really difficult because there are so many close battles. There's so many close battles on track. I'm going to say a decent finish for Alex Albon. And I'm going to say maybe top 8.
Ooh.
Finish for Albon.
But in whose car?
That's what I was thinking. Whose car is he driving this weekend?
Yeah, I think given, you know, the circumstances that have occurred over the last couple of weeks, and rightly so. I mean, that was a complete mess, a complete disaster from a PR perspective for Williams. I think they want to bounce back, get a positive result, and yeah, I think on these kind of circuits, they always throw a few surprises. So why not? I think Alex Albon has proven on multiple occasions now that he can get a good result when the opportunity arises. So yeah, I'm going to say top 8 finish for Alex Albon.
Yeah, I like the sound of that. I'm going to go with Yuki Tsunoda. I think the home favourite, I think he's going to have a great race this weekend. And he's been brilliant so far this season. I don't care what Helmut Marko says, Yuki's been brilliant. Like Yuki's like freeing up on Daniel Ricciardo in qualifying, and you know, I think he's got the biggest gap to any teammate in qualifying, with the obvious exception of Leclerc and Behrman, but we're not going to count that, you know, because Behrman's a rookie in a one-off race. So, you know, he's got the biggest delta to his teammate in qualifying. He's beaten 2-1, although to be fair, if it wasn't for team orders, it would have been 3-0 in that as well. And Yuki's driving the wheels off that RB car. And I know people are saying, oh, well, the RB car should be in the position to challenge points more so than anyone else in that midfield fight. But for me, I think he's showing great maturity. He's doing some really good overtakes when he needs to. And I don't really think you can ask much more from your driver in a car like that in the situation they find themselves in at the moment, where they need to be driving really well to get points. And I think at Suzuka, I think he's going to have another great race. He's going to be spurred on by the home fans. And I think he's going to bring it home and get some more points, personally.
Yeah, that sounds like a good Yuki weekend, for sure.
Which probably means it won't happen now. I've jinxed him.
Where are you putting him?
Oh, a top 10, somewhere in the top 10, I think. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's reasonable. I mean, I know you said top 8, but I think top 10 for Albon would still be amazing as well, yeah, given the context of where F1 is with point scoring at the moment and how that all works. Lee, who's your biggest surprise this weekend?
All right, if you accept it, great. If not, I've got backup. But my good surprise is Carlos. I know we just talked about him, but he's gone from strength in Australia, and I think he's going to be on form again this weekend, and the leading Ferrari driver.
I mean, we can accept any driver. I mean, you could go out there and say Max Verstappen, I think he's going to bounce back and win. But
that goes without saying.
Well, I mean, it was a surprise that he didn't finish the last race. So, you know, he's on a zero winning streak. He's on a zero finishing streak. Guy's mudded. Form's terrible. It's been three weeks since Max last won a race. What's going on? You know,
it's
going
to be 10 in a row, though, isn't it? Let's be honest, it's going to be 10 in a row after this.
Yeah, well, it'd be that blotch. It won't be 10 in a row because he's got to start from zero. But I'm hoping, yeah, you're probably right, actually, now that I think about it. Yeah, what did we say before, Lee? It was 10 in a row before Carlos wins the Hungarian Grand Prix.
And George crashes out.
Yeah. Do you know what? I saw a funny video the other day. It's not even like Carlos wins, it's the moment Crofty says and the crowd rise to applaud him, and you can hear the crowd or something like that, and then it cuts to George Russell immediately crashing. It happened in Singapore and it happened in Melbourne. I kid you not, try and find it on social media if you can. It's hilarious. But as soon as Crofty says it, and it's like, oh no, George Russell's crashed, like it is very meme worthy. But I would accept Carlos as a big surprise. I think any driver, as I said, but I think for the case of Carlos, we have to quantify it, because I'm expecting at least a top four finish from him this weekend. Yeah.
The lead Ferrari driver?
I think that'd probably be good. Ferrari are bringing some upgrades, so they might be more in the mix this weekend than we perhaps thought.
So I reckon he'd be ahead of Charles.
Red Bull bringing upgrades as well. They're talking this potential zero-style side pod concept coming, which has had us all shaking in our boots. Is it going to happen?
Well, hopefully it goes wrong. You never know, but got to live
if
in
If anyone's going to get it right, it'll be Adrian Newey. So.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, it's funny. Yesterday, I was on Monday. What day is it today? Tuesday. Yeah. Yesterday, Monday, I was flicking through social media and I saw a design of what the Red Bull upgrades are going to be rumoured to be, and it was like a cut in the middle of the side pod facing downwards. It was like another slot on top of the original one, and I looked at it and I thought, that looks so bizarre. And then I looked at the calendar and realised what day it was and thought, oh, it's absolute rubbish being April Fool's Day. So I was caught out by that one. I'm not gonna lie, I wasn't proud, but there you go. We'll have to wait and see what they bring. But okay, so remind everyone what we've gone with. I've gone with Tsunoda to be the biggest surprise. Courtney's gone with Albon. Lee's gone with Carlos Sainz. So let's move on to our biggest flop. And I'm sticking with RB and I'm going Danny Ric again. And I know it's not a popular one. Don't like to see it. But I think Ricciardo is having a very tough time at the moment. And I'm just not quite sure how he's going to be able to overcome it. Because I think we saw in Melbourne when he put together that qualifying lap where obviously he didn't count because he'd exceeded track limits at turn 5. But he said on the radio that that was all he was capable of. And even if that lap had counted, Tsunoda had beat that by like a tenth and a half, which would have been more of a hammer blow than Ricciardo being told that he missed out because of the lap got excluded. So I just think it's going to be another tough weekend for him, unfortunately. I hope I'm wrong, but tough time for Danny Ric.
It's definitely plausible. I think that's a reality, isn't it? It is plausible. But he has to get some, with all they're saying, two races now, aren't they? So he's really going to be under pressure to deliver.
Mm. And people saying it's a load of rubbish. Well, maybe, but there's no smoke without fire from Red Bull. And they've done this sort of thing before. I'd be surprised if it happens to Daniel, but I wouldn't be surprised in a few weeks' time we're talking about races with Liam Lawson, who deserves to be in Formula One. But, maybe this is his way in. I'm not sure.
There's definitely a possibility. But hopefully Daniel can step up. But, yeah, I do think it's very likely that your prediction will be true.
Mm. As I said, the way things are going at the moment, if this continues, we know for sure that Daniel Ricciardo may not be in Formula One next season. I just hope he's not removed mid-season, because a driver of his caliber and experience and what he's achieved in the sport deserves him of a much better finale to his F1 career than that. Lee, let's try and inject some positivity back into this podcast. Who's your biggest flop going to be?
Well, I don't think it'll bring any positivity, but I would say a Logan Sargeant.
Fair enough. Will he be driving his own car by the end of the weekend?
I believe he will have his own car, unless he sticks in the wall, which is...
Or his teammate does.
Yeah, a possibility on both. I think after a... not being out last time out in Australia, and obviously the bad PR that came with it, and the public show of no confidence in Logan from Williams, I think it's going to really knock his confidence. And it's going to really impact his driving. He's going to make some silly errors, and it's just going to impact his performance the whole weekend, and it's going to be a complete utter mess for him, I'm afraid.
Yeah, there's definitely a will from the F1 fan base to see him prove Williams wrong and put in a performance this weekend. Last season, he crashed out in qualifying or practice or something like that, and then I think he had a bit of a muddied race as well, so he definitely needs to go better here this year. I hope he does, but we'll see. Courtney, who's going to be your biggest flop this weekend?
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm going to agree with you, Lee. I was going to go with Logan Sargeant as well, and yeah, you hit the nail on the head there. I think the sad reality is we've already seen this before from Logan Sargeant, where, you know, when circumstances we've seen at home races in the past, or, you know, when he's gone through a particular drop in form and he has to improve, it's a phrase that's, in my opinion, very much overused in Formula One. But we've heard the term overdriving. He's trying too hard. We've seen it. He wants to make that impact. And given everything that's happened since Australia, he is going to try too hard. And I can see him making a costly error.
Fair enough. And yeah, we'll have to wait and see how he gets on. Stroll survives the flop nominations this week. So that's good progress. Let's move on to qualifying predictions now. Pole position. Who are we having on pole position? For me,
are we gonna do the countdown, or?
Well, I mean, that depends, Lee, because you've been quite how can I put this? You've been quite optimistic about Ferrari's chances, and they've let you down. So I'm curious to see. I'm gonna go to you first, actually. Then we're not quite all confident that Max is definitely gonna be on pole, Courtney. So I want to go to Lee first, just in case he's the one that breaks the tide on this one.
I'm definitely going to say Max this time. Sorry.
There we go. Well, a missed opportunity, but we'll get him next time, Colt. Don't worry. Who are you going with, mate?
Yeah, Max. Back, particularly after what happened in Australia, he's going to be like, no. I might not have been inevitable, but that was a one-off. I am back to being inevitable.
The redemption arc starts today for Max Verstappen. He needs to right some wrongs and prove people wrong. He is not finished. Get back to winning ways. It's been 3 weeks, too long. But I'm sure pole position will have his name on. I mean, last season's pole position he put together was phenomenal. I mean, I know the car's great and OP, but the driving is just ridiculous. And he's made the circuit his own. He really has.
Suzuka does that, though. Again, historically, when you have a look through the greats, you know, you have a look at Senna, Schumacher, Hamilton. Suzuka has always sort of been a highlight. You have a look at pole laps or even obviously races as well. And Max is obviously very much in that caliber. So, yeah, I fully expect him to deliver this weekend.
Yeah, I agree. I hope I'm wrong. Maybe we'll see a red car on the front row. Maybe even a McLaren. They could be going well this weekend. This is a good track for McLaren. So we certainly can't rule them out by any stretch. Let's move on to our top three. And what we'll do, just for those of you that are unfamiliar with how we do the top three now, we go third, second, and then first. But obviously we do our own third places, our own seconds, our own firsts. So, Courtney, who are you going for finishing in third? That is in his sentence? Yeah, something like that. Yes. Who's finishing third for you?
I'm going to say Charles Leclerc.
Interesting. Lee, who's third?
Charles Leclerc.
Yeah, I'm going with Leclerc as well for P3, I'm afraid. As boring as that sounds, I was more optimistic, but I'm going for that. Second place, I'm going Perez.
Right, I'm going Carlos Sainz.
Oh, okay. I like this. I like your podiums more than mine. I wish we had a third Ferrari car, see if we really push it. Who's going to win then? Can we all do this together? Or
no lagging. Should we do the countdown?
Go on then, Courtney. You lead the countdown.
All right. 3, 2, 1.
Max. You said no lagging and then you're lagging.
It was bad to happen, wasn't it?
Oh, what is
the old dogs for you.
What a letdown that is. We built that up. We still haven't got that one down. I mean, fortunately, Max is going to win many, many more races. So we'll have many more opportunities to synchronise ourselves for that. But one day we will get that perfectly on sync. So just for the benefit of anyone that misheard Max Verstappen, we're all going with Max to win that Grand Prix. So interesting predictions. I like your podiums more than I like my own, but there we go. And final category before we sign off, the bold prediction. So who wants to go first and be bold? What are we going for this weekend?
Well, for me, again, if you're not happy with it, guys, I've got a backup. But my bold prediction is already alluded to was the double Ferrari podium. If that is acceptable.
It's not really a. I wouldn't say that was a bold one. I would say that's a good, but not a given.
Right, that's why you have backups on the bold prediction. So I reckon it will be a two car top five finish for McLaren.
Yeah, I think that's fairly bold. I mean, if it goes down the way that we expected to, then obviously two McLarens in the top five, I think they'd be buzzing with that one. What do you reckon, Courtney? How does that sound? Adam, is that bold enough for you?
Yeah, and you're going to love mine.
Oh, I like it already. What's, don't tease me.
So, after the checkered flag in Suzuka, I think Ferrari will be leading a Constructors' Championship.
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, they probably will be. We haven't even talked about this yet right now because Carlos Sainz, if his appendix hadn't burst, then he would probably be leading the World Championship right now. And
I think Perez is starting to be under the cosh. It's when people say that, football fans are very much thinking about the latest result. The F1 community is very, well, not F1 community, the F1 as a sport is always the latest result. But I do feel that Sergio Perez is already under the cosh. I think he's going to be another one who's going to make a mistake. And I reckon he's going to finish outside the points or DNF.
I mean, F1 Twitter is not quite there with football Twitter, but he is getting there. There are certain takes that just, like, what is this? This has to be bait. But do you know what? I mean, that Australian Grand Prix performance would have raised some eyebrows about Sergio Perez because I think he would have settled into the season well, first two races. And, okay, Red Bull weren't at their best. They struggled with graining, and we don't know where Max would have ended up if he stayed in that race. But obviously, he was nowhere near where Red Bull would have wanted him to be. To finish nearly a minute behind the leader is not good enough. I mean, you'd probably think Red Bull would finish a minute ahead of the next car behind him. But, so it's definitely one to keep an eye on. My bold prediction is a little bit different. My bold prediction is going to be that Sauber managed to achieve a whole race without a messed up pit stop.
Ooh. Ooh, so that's the best one yet.
Yeah, I thought you might like that one. And I'm going to say that every single one of their pit stops is going to be below 3 seconds. Three seconds or better. We're going really bold on this.
You're going
one.
Really wow. bold. You didn't even do double digits.
I'm not going to try and finesse this. I am going bold on this one because right now the average pit stop time after the first three races for Sauber is 3.71 seconds, slower than everybody else by a mile. Conveniently, Ferrari are fastest, so there you go. At least they're winning at something. And McLaren's are actually quite far down. Surprising. Anyway, look, I'm getting sidetracked here, but when you look at the pit stops throughout the season so far, how many times have we seen, it's almost like every single session or every race ever pit stop, there's always something going wrong, and they don't discriminate. It's both drivers that are getting these.
They've got a problem with their, their wheel nuts.
It's the wheel guns or something like that. The wheel nuts. The best one was that.
They've said they've got a problem with their wheel nuts.
What was it Crofty said on commentary? Something about. You know what it was. Something about, do you just hate it when your nuts go around or something like that. I don't know. It was really funny at the time. I can't repeat because I don't know 100% what it was. I'll find it later on and I'll make myself laugh in the toilet.
If you get it wrong, it's going to be really wrong if you get what I mean.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I want to try and keep this a clean PG family show, and I feel like I'm literally teetering away from that if I try to recreate that. It was a brilliant piece of commentary in the time. It was just so funny. So far this season, I'm going to share some stats with you to kind of emphasize how bold a prediction this is. In 2024, Sauber have spent 158.42 seconds. So we're talking about nearly two and three quarter minutes, doing 11 pit stops. This is already more than the following drivers in the entirety of the 2023 season. Sainz, Stroll, Verstappen, Leclerc, Hamilton, Gasly, Ocon, Tsunoda, and Alonso. Literally, the most of those was Fernando Alonso, who did 39 pit stops in 2023, and it was still faster than the 11 that Sauber have done already this season.
Oh, dear.
That's how bad it's been. Literally, I think the only driver that won't feel so bad about this is Bottas, because he had that pit stop that lasted like 3 days. at the Monaco Grand Prix a few years back when they couldn't get the wheel off the car. But I'm sure that's a record he doesn't want to break again. So, yeah, that's why I'm going bold. I'm going bold and saying Sauber or Kick or Stake or whatever they're going to be called this weekend are going to have a whole race with no serious flaws with their pit stops, and every single one of them is going to be faster than 3 seconds. Probably won't happen. But that's why we do bold predictions. It's all part of fun.
That is bold.
Yeah. I always enjoy the bold predictions part because I like coming up with some really random ones.
You're just enjoying it. The Ferrari is not that team. You know, the team is you're just enjoying this moment.
We haven't even talked about Mercedes much in this episode. I mean, to be honest, we are running short of time, so I think we'll have to put that one in the pigeonhole and talk about that another time. But yeah, I'm loving life at the moment. It'd be nice if Ferrari won every single weekend, but I'm riding that wave of Tifosi-level copium. And at least we've got some results to back it up at the moment. But we shall see if that continues. But that's all we got time for, guys. Hope that you enjoyed our predictions episode for the Japanese Grand Prix. It's another early start. If you're listening to us in the UK, 6 a.m. start on Sunday for the race, 7 o'clock in the morning for qualifying. It's not too bad as Melbourne, but still quite an early one for us over here. But of course, we're not crying or seeking any sympathy. I'm sure a lot of you listening out there will be looking at this and thinking, you do it once or twice a year. We have to do it every single weekend. So more power to you on that one. But as I said, if you enjoyed the episode, leave us a 5-star review. It really does help us out a lot on your favorite podcasting platform. And until next time, guys, thanks for tuning in. And we'll see you in the next episode of the DNF1 F1 podcast. Take care. You can follow us on all our socials. Search at DNF1_official on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook. Don't forget to follow us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and also leave us a 5-star review. If you're not first, you're probably DNF1. Podcast Network.